FAA prepares to tighten the definition of amateur build. A wrongful death lawsuit scrubs an Arizona air show. And NASA wants Atlantis home before the Pentagon starts shooting. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 18th, 2008. It looks as if 2008 will be the year the FAA works to catch up with the evolution of so-called amateur-built aircraft constructed from kits. In the past, this category generally covered simple aircraft built at home from plans, or in some cases kits which provided raw materials for the amateur fabricator. But kits have moved more toward pre-cut, pre-drilled sub-assemblies and quick-build versions with more time-consuming pieces such as tail sections prefabbed by the kit maker. Factory builder assist programs take care to adhere to the letter of the definition of amateur built, but the FAA and many home builders agree that many are stretching the original spirit of the rule. The FAA established an amateur built aviation rulemaking committee in 2006 to make recommendations regarding the use of builder or commercial assistance when fabricating and assembling amateur built aircraft under FAR 21-191G, the so-called 51% rule. That committee has decided that the current FAA directives and advisory circulars are no longer adequate. So, part one of the overhaul is a suspension by the FAA of courtesy inspections of kits, which up till now has allowed buyers to be assured before purchase that the aircraft resulting from a particular kit would meet the 51% rule. The FAA says the next step will be addressing a loophole which allows factory assistance programs to allow builders to claim credit for fabrication tasks shared by professional helpers. The Experimental Aircraft Association has supported tightening the rules for amateur-built aircraft, seeing the changes as essential to preserving a rule which allows the freedom to build. The suspension of courtesy inspections of aircraft kits does not affect the individual inspections of finished aircraft for experimental amateur-built airworthiness certificates. A young and growing air show in Arizona has been forced to cancel its event for 2008 due to a lawsuit involving a 2006 crash. The Prescott Daily Courier reported on Friday that the Arizona Skyfest, which had grown to attract 15,000 visitors in its 4 years of existence, has been canceled in 2008 for fears the sponsor money normally used to cover events would be attached for payment of an award in a wrongful death lawsuit. That suit was filed in September by family members of victims of a crash, which occurred when, according to the National Transportation Safety Board, a Piper Cheyenne got too close to a MiG-21 during a photo shoot, encountered the jet's high-velocity jet core exhaust, and slammed upside down into the ground. Among those killed was pilot William Friedman, the air show's executive director, and passenger Warren Parks, the show's operations director. The accident happened 16 miles from Prescott's Ernest A. Love Airport, and current board members say the Prescott Airfare Association, which staged the event, was in no way responsible, has no assets, and has no insurance. The board says it hopes the event can return in 2009. The space shuttle Atlantis has undocked from the International Space Station and is scheduled to land at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida on Wednesday. But NASA says it will have Edwards Air Force Base in California ready as a backup to allow getting the shuttle on the ground as early as possible. NASA says it wants to provide the U.S. military with the widest possible window in which to execute its planned missile intercept of a falling spy satellite, expected this week. Favorable weather for landing the shuttle is expected at both sites. 5 months after he was last seen alive, adventurer Steve Fawcett has been declared legally dead. Cook County, Illinois Circuit Court Judge Jeffrey Malik Friday granted Peggy Fawcett's motion for the declaration, which she needed to begin resolving her husband's estate. When he disappeared, Fawcett was at first thought to have been scouting locations in the Nevada desert for an 800-mile-per-hour land speed record attempt. The car being prepared for the run weighs 9,000 pounds and uses carbon tires and a skid brake, which would have damaged any course on which the attempt was made. The team was reportedly considering other options to avoid interfering with other teams running at the Bonneville Salt Flats. But by September 11th last year, 8 days after he disappeared, the search had focused on a 30 to 50 mile radius of the Flying M Ranch where he took off, on the revised assumption he was simply on a pleasure flight. The search for Fawcett was called one of the most intensive in U.S. history, covering 20,000 square miles. After years spent setting aviation records, Fawcett was inducted into the National Aviation Hall of Fame in July last year. Up next on ANN, an Oregon pilot makes an unsuccessful Cat 3 landing attempt. The U.S. Coast Guard calls off its search for a missing Japanese balloonist. And NATCA continues sparring with the FAA over recruitment of new controllers. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 18th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The NTSB will try to determine why a Klamath Falls, Oregon dermatologist and commercially rated pilot was trying to land his Lancer in heavy fog at Portland International Airport Saturday morning. The plane was not a kit, but a factory-built Lancer, the model later renamed the Columbia 400, now the Cessna 400. 62-year-old Dr. Richard Otoski owned the plane with his wife, Emily. He was alone on board when it went down in what the National Weather Service said was a 1/8 to 1/4 mile visibility at about 8:30 a.m. Saturday. The National Weather Service had issued a dense fog advisory for the area about 3 hours before the time of the crash. The plane was well equipped for IFR and was approaching PDX from the west. It appeared to be on a course to land on the airport's south runway, 10 right. But where it hit the ground was farther south, well to the right of the approach, and closer to the threshold of crosswind runway 312. Arrivals and departures of commercial traffic at the airport were delayed for about 20 minutes while fire trucks moved to the scene. Visibility is assumed to have been a factor, but the NTSB will investigate. The U.S. Coast Guard has suspended its search for 58-year-old Michio Kanda, the Japanese adventurer and hot air balloonist reported missing on January 31st. Kanda departed Japan January 30th on what was planned to be a 5,600-mile solo flight to Portland, Oregon. His last reported position was about 435 miles south of Adak, Alaska. During the 16-day search, the Coast Guard searched over 40,000 square miles. That's an area roughly the size of Kentucky, with no sign of Mr. Kanda or his survival capsule. C-130 search planes from the Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak conducted 16 searches of the area for over 200 hours, while the Coast Guard cutters Rush and Jarvis steamed toward the last known position for a combined 144 hours before being forced to turn back due to weather. If Kanda was forced to ditch in the area, survival would have been daunting. The Rush sustained a 2-foot crack in its hull during the search and was taking on water in 30 to 40-foot seas. Rush crew members were able to temporarily patch the hull, allowing that cutter to make port in Dutch Harbor for further repairs. The FAA announced on Friday it has created Consolidated Pre-Employment Processing Centers, or PEPCs, to provide one-stop shopping for prospective employees. The agency says that by consolidating security clearances, medical screenings, and fingerprinting, it can cut weeks off the application process and get new controllers into training more quickly. The first center was set up at the regional FAA office in New York. The FAA says it was termed a success by over 90 prospective controllers interviewed. Other PEPCs will be held in Florida, Atlanta, Fort Worth, and Chicago between now and spring. FAA Acting Administrator Bobby Sturgill says a recent recruitment announcement drew 3,000 applicants in 15 days. Quote, "The overwhelming response for new air traffic controller positions highlights the enthusiasm, passion, and determination of our applicants. They are ready to work, and we want to get them processed and in training as soon as possible." Unquote. The agency has a goal to hire more than 1,800 new air traffic controllers in 2008. But the National Air Traffic Controllers Association tells ANN the effort is a band-aid. NATCA spokesman Doug Church calls the PEPCs a smokescreen to distract public attention from what he calls the agency's, quote, ruthless, draconian treatment of its current workforce that has now needlessly risked the safety and efficiency of the system. If the FAA truly wants to do something to address the controller shortage, it will resume contract negotiations with NATCA ASAP, unquote. An Algerian pilot, who was among hundreds of so-called persons of interest detained in the aftermath of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, won the right last week to sue the British government for wrongful imprisonment. Reuters reports 33-year-old Lofty Raisi was accused by U.S. authorities of being linked to one of the 9/11 hijackers. He was arrested in London 10 days after the attacks and held in the high-security Belmarsh prison. He was released in 2002 after the allegations were proven false, but Raisi claims he remained blacklisted from jobs with any airline. The Brits rejected his compensation claim. On Thursday, however, the Court of Appeal in London agreed Raisi had a valid complaint and ordered the government to reconsider the compensation claim. The government could still appeal further. Raisi told the BBC, quote, I want a widely publicized apology for the part that they played. I am not a terrorist. I abhor terrorism, unquote. In a separate interview with Channel 4, Raisi said, quote, I suffered a great injustice. I believe I can restore my life and go back to aviation and get on with my life, unquote. Still ahead, Diamond gets help developing the D-Jet from the Canadian government. A private security guard is arrested for trying to carry on a handgun. And Boeing starts final assembly on the second flight test Dreamliner. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 18, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Diamond Aircraft tells ANN it has received a $19.6 million strategic repayable investment from the Government of Canada for research and development of its D-Jet. The company, in turn, says it will manufacture the new all-composite five-seat personal jet at its facility in London, Ontario. The Honorable Jim Prentice, Canada's Minister of Industry, announced the investment during a briefing on Saturday at Diamond Aircraft's London facility. The money will come from Canada's new Strategic Aerospace Defense Initiative, which has a mandate to advance leading-edge R&D by Canadian aerospace and defense industries. Peter Maurer, president of Diamond Aircraft Industries, says, quote, this investment will play a vital role. There is already tremendous demand for this new aircraft, and we're excited about the opportunity to grow our already proven world-class team and operation here in southwestern Ontario to deliver D-Jet to our customers worldwide, unquote. Diamond's London operation today produces the DA-20, the DA-40 family, and the DA-42 light diesel twin. Diamond employs 580 people in Canada and is the third largest producer worldwide of airplanes in the under 3-ton weight class. There are, no doubt, qualifications you must meet to do private security and prisoner transport work. An ability to think ahead apparently is not one of them. The Mercury News reports a Riverside, California security company called Court Services Incorporated got a contract from Hawaii's Department of Public Safety to transport prisoners. while bringing an unidentified handcuffed inmate through Los Angeles International Airport last March. Company President Eric Kindley allegedly gave his employee, Gary Garrett, a handgun which was not registered to either man and ordered him to take it with him as he escorted the prisoner onto an ATA flight. Garrett was arrested and was reportedly found to lack the required training to be allowed to carry the gun on board. He lacked a concealed carry permit and had not been sworn in as a law officer. Prosecutors say Garrett and Kindley were indicted last week on charges of conspiracy and attempting to carry a firearm on an aircraft. The two could face 20 years in jail if convicted on both counts. The handcuffed inmate apparently made it back to his scheduled court appearance in Hawaii, accompanied by another court services employee who was not carrying a gun. Boeing announced on Friday that final assembly has begun on the second 787 Dreamliner flight test airplane. While this is the second of six flight test airplanes, this Dreamliner is actually the fourth on the production line. It follows two airplanes that will be used for static and fatigue testing. Perhaps most important, Boeing notes that vendors have improved the quality of parts being shipped to Everett for assembly. That was a major sticking point on the first plane, and a large reason why that aircraft still hasn't taken to the air. Boeing says 21 Dreamliners are currently in various stages of production. Since its launch in April of 2004, the 787 Dreamliner program has logged 857 firm orders, valued at $144 billion, from 56 airlines. The first 787 is slated to take flight by the end of June, with customer deliveries now expected to start next year. And finally, ANN reported recently that the aerospace industry is having a tough time recruiting qualified young workers to expand production and replace retirees, but that Boeing appeared to be an exception. Industry analysts think the Seattle area's reputation for quality of life may be one reason. Well, workplace observers now think they may have found one big reason Boeing is known for good morale, low turnover, and recruitment success. A company-subsidized Boeing Employees Wine and Beer Makers Club. Boeing's Bob Jorgensen says supporting clubs for employees' interests outside working hours is good business. Quote, "We believe that Boeing should be concerned with its community and encourage employees to find excellence in all they do at work and at play," unquote. The International Herald Tribune reports the Boeing Group started 30 years ago as a wine tasting club and has even seen some of its members go on to success in the winemaking industry. Wasn't one of the Dreamliner delays a problem with getting fuselage pieces to line up? I mean, I'm just saying. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly discussion with CFI Bob Miller, we'll talk about how to train for spin awareness without actually doing spins. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.